Sorry. I was looking at a fire for Lag BaOmer, and my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, told me if you see the coals glowing, and this is typical of almost any big fire, especially with coals, you'll see that the bright spots move around. Right? One spot is bright, one spot is dark, and then it shifts one way or the other. So why is that? So he said that there's a certain capacity of heat that whatever each coal could take, and it absorbs it and then passes it on to the next one, heats up the other one, and then it cools down because it was heating up the other one, and it shifts back. And so I thought this is a great mashal, just how the coals burn is also how a little bit how Klal Yisrael works. And there's a galgal chozer ba'olam that Hashem made it so that a person could be doing well, could be inspired, could be successful in monetary things or successful in life and whatever they're doing. And then Hashem's going to give the bracha sometimes to them. And also Hashem shares with other people. And Hashem passes it on to one person, passes it on to one person to the next person. They reach some capacity, whatever bracha Hashem wanted to give them. And Hashem gives it to somebody else. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. There's no such thing as, okay, we have this concept that there's a galgel, chazir ba'olam, Hashem gives bracha, but there's bracha and there's difficulties and they have an end. Everything is, the story goes, whatever, gamzu yavor, everything has an end. And what the Sefer HaChinuch says about this in this week's Parsha, he says that there's a very important mitzvot that come up in this week's Parsha, make sure to treat everybody nicely. And he says there's a mitzvah of onah devarim. You can't insult somebody, make them feel bad. If you see the classic example in the Gemara, you see somebody who's a baal tshuva, a ger, you shouldn't remind them, oh, remember when you used to hang out in the slums and you were friends with the mobsters? So it's not nice. Make them feel, tease them. It's not nice. So he says, what about if somebody is a hotshot? Or I was doing this with a little bit with Isaac this week. Somebody cheats people in business. So he thinks he's at the top of the world. Everything is going to go his way. He's going to be successful. And he's not worried that he's going to be cheated by anybody else. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, that's not the way Hashem works. Even if he thinks he's at the top of the world, he's going to be successful. So Hashem might make it so that other people will get back at him. Or if not at him, then his children. So there's something like that. There's Gagol Chozer Ba'olam. Things change all the time. And hopefully this Magefa is going to leave us. We're going to have bracha in that area. And we have to keep in mind that since everything changed all the time, we should focus on giving to other people, focus on being nice to people, ben on chaver. That's what I thought of when I saw the fire. It was glowing. It switches back and forth, back and forth. That's just the nature of things. It's also probably true of inspiration. Inspiration a person has, but it doesn't last forever. And that's the lesson of the Sfirat Omer. We have to grow one day after the other. A person could be on fire, could be as high as level of the Az Yashir, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu greater levels than the Nevi'im saw, the prophets saw, like Yechezkel saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could be like that level, but it doesn't last forever. Just like the glowing coals, they glow and they get cold. They get hot and cold, and they shift back and forth, back and forth. And our job is to grow in every day of the Sefirah, to grow one day after the other, to increase our intensity, but to know that that's life. Life is going to be, some days are down days. There are going to be a day when we don't have Kavanah and Tefillah. That doesn't mean it's the end. The point is we should learn from our successes and the failures how to do better. Let's now do some thoughts about Refuah on Shabbat. So last time we ended off, I think, about children being a Chol She'en Bo Sakana. So you can do medicine for them if there's anything that's wrong with the child. Also, one thing I saw over here, and I was a little surprised, but I think this is a lot of people do this, that it's quoted from Chacham Avadia in the Tiferet that if there is a baby sleeping in one room and their parents are in a different room, you can use an intercom or a walkie-talkie system where they have. I should ask this as a question. Is it what are the reasons for and what are the reasons against being able to use this intercom for the baby monitor, a baby monitor? And then also he doesn't address, but what about the baby monitors with pictures, screens? What do you think? Should that be allowed with the screen? Why yes? Why no? What do we think about that? Everybody know what I'm talking
Yeah,
about?
so
If
they
not, if
say
you don't know what I'm
security,
talking about,
yes.
it's similar to a security camera type of
Right,
camera.
well, they allow security cameras in shul, so it has to be yes.
Okay, so what are the reasons why maybe yes, why maybe no? Salo, do you have a remember we or anything we discussed about this? What do you think? What goes into this?
I think that that it would be allowed for, because we said that the baby is considered as a olé to a certain level, so we are allowed to do melacha de rabanan for him.
Very good. Okay, so that's what he brings. That's why it's brought in this context. For the children, you can do certain things that are necessary for their health, for their benefit. So you can do things that are derabanan. So this would be allowed. Now, one other thing is, though, if you have a baby monitor, some of them go two ways. Not just that you can listen to the baby, but also when you're speaking, or even better, even if it's one way, it's one way. You hear the baby where you are. I don't know in the Levy house if you ever had any of these in your house. But if the parent goes into the room, or anybody goes into the room where the baby is, and they're singing them, let's say, a lullaby, or Amal HaGoel, they're singing them Shema, they're singing them something, or saying something. They're saying that to the baby. So the monitor is going to catch it, and it's going to go on to the other side. So they're speaking into a monitor on Shabbat. So is that a concern that we're worried that the parent, it's like speaking in a phone on Shabbat. You're not speaking in a phone on Shabbat. What did you say? Oh, okay. Okay. So that's where we get into the psi creation. That's exactly what I was looking for. Using the baby monitor is derabanan, and what is the iser in general? Starting electricity or stopping electricity is the iser derabanan. Chacham Avad hold it's molid, it's creating something new. Creating circuit, creating electricity in the circuit, making something have energy is molid. And so too, speaking into a phone probably isn't exactly molid, but Rosh Hashanah Zalman says it's a surmi derabanan, it might be molid, it might be he has hashma kol, different reason. Well, I said we don't allow it. So, it's certainly less serious speaking into a phone that's already picked up than if the phone's off, you have to turn it on. For sure it's less serious. If you can get a non-Jew to turn it on, like if someone's a doctor or whatever, or someone needs something, and you just speak into the phone, that's very different than turning on the phone. Anyway, so Chacham Avad just said, it's okay for the parents to speak in the room where there's a baby monitor because it's a psikration of the lone dichal. And they're not trying to listen to their own voice, they're trying to hear the baby crying in the morning or some other point to hear if they're crying. So that's a secret shul onichale, and that could be allowed. Now, what would you say, and the security cameras, what about the camera? So my mother brought up the security cameras in shuls, people have that. So Chacham Avad in Yabi Omer, Chelek Tet, Simon Lamed, he has a long tshuva in Eretz Yisrael by the Kotel, was one of the places where at first it was there was a lot of security. And now everywhere in the world, now you can find all over the streets in Yerushalayim and everywhere, they have security. And he has a tshuva about this, and he says, it's kotev to be on a to be pictured on Shabbat. For me to take a picture, snap a photo, a selfie of myself or somebody else, that's a malacha. It's kotev mi derabanan probably, because even if it's not kayamar, maybe it is deraita, but it's certainly de malacha. So we assume usually it's only derabanan. Especially on security cameras in a shakayama. It's not permanent, it's not forever. It's going to stay on the security guard screen for a moment. And even if it gets recorded, it's only going to be recorded for whatever, 24 hours or whatever it is. So that's probably derabanan. So what do you say about a psi? So he says, psi gresha derabanan, is that nichale, not nichale? So that's a big discussion. Some say it is nichale. You want the security. I don't want me to be on the film, but bottom line, I want there to be security. So Rav Eliyashiv was concerned. Rav Eliyashiv said, you can't go to the Kotel on Shabbat. Rav Chaim Avadia said, maybe it's not nichale. The only one we want to see on the screen is the terrorist, or the thief, or the person who's dangerous. I don't care about me being on the screen. So that's why he was mekel. Also, he had other reasons. Other reasons include, maybe it's a shinui. It's not a normal way to be kotev biraglo, with your feet, whatever, walking wherever you are. That's not a normal way. Well, that's a question. And the other one has a big chidush, is you're doing melcha keder chilucho. As you're walking, you're living your life normally. You can't via melachot as you're walking normally. It's a tremendous chidush. Most people never say this. And Chacham Avad only brings it as a sniff, as just one factor. What that means is, we did see like this. If a person is going to have something where there's flour and water and you can't knead it on Shabbat, you can't mix it together, or you can't do borer. So if you do it in your mouth, that's usually mutar. Why? Because that's the normal way a person eats. Derech achila is allowed. So you take the watermelon and you can spit out the seeds. Or you take the fish and spit out the seeds. Those are totally fine, no question. That's derech achila. It's a normal way to eat. Same thing if you have things that are mixed up in your mouth, you're making lash, you're making a kneading dough in your mouth, that's totally mutar. There's no question. There's no restrictions on eating, sleeping, and drinking, and breathing on Shabbat. All those are mutar. So even if it involves melacha, the eating is derech achila, it's mutar. Some say, this is the reason the Taz says, it's also allowed to to eat a food, a cookie with words on it, like Hershey's has a word on it, or I don't know, some cookies, Oreo, I think, might say Oreo printed onto them, or if you get a birthday cake. So you're allowed to take the words. So the Rama says you can't, and the Taz says you could. What's the difference? It's derech achila, just like without borer derech achila, it's derech mochik, just erasing letters. So the same thing over here, Chamavadya quoted the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai, he supports this one. He says that if a person has a turban on his head and it gets untangled, and it gets unwoven, not unwoven, but unfolded on Shabbat. I once looked at a YouTube just to see what it meant. They used to make fancy turbans, not like a little scarf on your head and you make a knot in the back. No, much fancier. It would be 30 feet long, and it would be a few times rolled over, and you would wrap it around very thin, and wrap it around and around 20 times, and be folded very nicely. And they'd keep it for months and months. They wouldn't undo the turban. So says the Beis Chai, what happens if it comes out on Shabbat? Says, as long as you keep on walking, as you're fixing, as you're walking, it's tikkun derech halicho, so it's not malacha. It's not tikkun. So it's a tremendous chidush of the Beis Chai. Most poskim don't allow that. But either way, Ramban brings is one other reason. So that's the security cameras. And so with the baby monitor, I would say those reasons somewhat apply. However, my general feeling is I think for security, I would allow it. But for the baby monitor, we don't need it. All the generations, when I was growing up and I was a baby, did we have these baby monitors? So, look, if a person feels that they absolutely need it, I think there's room to be lenient. But I think that there's a lot of reason to be strict on using the baby monitor with a video because it's unnecessary and it leads, I think, to a breach in feeling of Shabbat is lax and we could use anything that's going to be electricity. This is what I spoke once to our Shabbat in West Orange. He thought the same thing. I think it's we have to be very careful about that.
According to Rabbi Eliashiv, you are not allowed to walk on the streets
nowadays. So they had a distinction. They asked him that. Shalom Shimon. They asked, what do you say about walking on the streets of Yerushalayim? And he was, when he was older, he was in Yerushalayim, in the old city. I once went to his house on Shabbat morning for Shacharit by Rabbi Eliashiv. And they used to wheel him from one side of the street to the other side of the street. And he used to go to the shul, very close by where he lived, whatever it was. And they asked him, but now there are cameras, security cameras everywhere. So he said, okay, the security by the Kotel, he's Oser. He said they can't go to the Kotel on Shabbat because the security cameras Kotev. But he said to everywhere else it's allowed because it's not Nichle. No one really looking, no one really cares so much about the security. This high-level security that we feel we need by the Kotel because there's more... terrorism more of a concern, that's considered a psik reisha, that's nichalei. So that's sort of Yasha's opinion. But yes, I think, and most other areas is not such a big concern. Most opinions are like Chacham Avadya, the Shevet Alevi, he holds a little bit like that Ben Ish Chai, very big kula, but Lama'asa, that most poskim do allow walking with their security cameras. There's different opinions. What do you say about putting up a private home security camera with a video? Rav Schechter says it's allowed. Different people can say yes and some say no. Bottom line, for security, yes. And for the baby monitor with the video, I think best not to do. Okay, here we go with other Inyanim Rafua. I'm going to go through some things. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Okay, I'm going to open up the Mishnah Berurah that I have and share the screen just to go through a few things. And I'm going to try to add as much as I could. So this will be clear. So we'll start with Siv Zion with sharing the screen. No, here we go. Could you see the Mishnah Berurah? Okay. Mechalin Shabbat. I'll call Makash and Asa Macha Barzel. If somebody gets cut.
We don't see it.
We don't
see it. I just see a list of your computer things.
How about now? Now it's better? I switched it?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you. So, you're allowed to do it kol maka shenasa machma barzel. Anytime a person gets caught with any metal thing, you're allowed to mechalel Shabbat because we're afraid of infection. And now, what we mean is chalal means into the... mechalel Shabbat, let's finish the sentence. Sorry, if it's a cut from a metal thing, al shechi, fine. That's if it's a serious cut, he is allowed to mechalel Shabbat. We're worried about infection and worried about a person getting ill because of the wound. Now it's brought in the Teferet over here that It doesn't work. Okay, if a person got a little cut on their hand, they try to bandage it. Meaning, first step first, you don't assume that it's the worst thing. If a person gets a serious gash that they need stitches and it looks like it's very, very deep below the skin, so then you ask, try to ask a doctor, call the doctor if there's no doctor around, and if you go to the ER, then you need to go to the ER. However, you go to the hospital. However, if it's just like a bandage on your hand, so then I'm skipping ahead. Could you put a Band-Aid on if it's just a small little cut? No reason to go to the hospital for the Band-Aid things. So then it says over here, you can put on a Band-Aid on Shabbat. There's no problem with refuah, even if the person's not sick, to put on a Band-Aid on Shabbat. Now, there are a lot of questions. I put on a Band-Aid. Anybody could think of any of the questions that are involved with taking the Band-Aid out, putting the Band-Aid on, taking the Band-Aid off. Any of the questions that are involved with that? Goes is excellent. When you pull the Band-Aid off your skin, it hurts sometimes. You rip out a hair. That's gozes. Also, when you take the, when you peel off the edges, the tabs, that might be chorea, separating. Or when you stick it on your hand, maybe it's tofer. All these things are questions. Chamavadya's matir, I think all of them. The chorea was not really chorea because it was not almanat l'kayim. Just like if you have a birkon, a bencher, and you have two pages that get stuck, you're allowed to separate the two pages because they were not amanat l'kayim. Same thing with the tabs on the diaper side, and the diaper tabs. So the same thing with the it's in the Yaakov Yosef with the flaps of the with the Band-Aid. If you have a wrapper around the Band-Aid, you rip it open to mekalkel. We said you're allowed to do that. That's allowed. What about putting it on the Band-Aid on the person's skin? Is that tofer? So that's an interesting thing. Probably it's not tofer because it doesn't make one unit with your person's body. The skin and the Band-Aid look separate. Don't become a unit. They talk about this when they put like a, if you're allowed to put a safety pin in, if you have a shirt and there needs a cuff or a shirt that gets ripped and you want to put a safety pin to hold it together. Or if you have cuff pants that fall down, you need to cuff them up. You're allowed to put in a safety pin to keep it tight. So some say that's asur, it's keeping together things. Chamavad is matir, because, and it's based on Rishonim, because it doesn't make it a unit when you use safety pin. It's very different than when you glue something together. Okay, so the Band-Aid's not gluing anything together. The same thing, the last thing is gozes. Chamavad has this in, he wrote a haskamah to some sefer, like Lev of Ram or something, and he wrote a haskamah, the person said, you're not allowed to put on the Band-Aid because they're going to pull out hairs. And Shmir Shabbat says something like that. Shmir Shabbat says, you should pull off the Band-Aid very, very slowly or put some water on it, and so it doesn't pull out hair. It won't be a psik resha. Chamavadi says it's okay even if it's psik resha. Why? Psik resha lo nichale on a derabanan. Now, why is it only derabanan? And I was flying through this. Any reasons? What do you say? What do we say about gozes with hair? You're going to pull out hair when you take off the Band-Aid. Is that deraita or derabanan?
I think it's deraita on the head versus hair on the other parts of the body.
Okay, good suggestion. I don't think so. I think we still say deraita, but I think the reason is it's derabanan because it's Tosot. Tosot says it's malchus yitzchak legufa. There's no use to this hair. You're going to throw it in the garbage. It's only deraita. So that's okay. So you're allowed to put on a Band-Aid because it's mishamra. It protects it. That's okay. If it's a very serious wound that you're afraid to get an infection, so you can even put on antibacterial, like Neosporin or some antibacterial cream to make sure that it doesn't get infected. But that's if it's just a tiny paper cut, then you put on the Band-Aid. If it's more serious than that, if it's a more serious cut, then you put on even the cream. However, if it's much deeper, and then you have to make sure to stop the bleeding, but then you can even call the doctor to make sure if there's something else to deal with. Okay, so now we'll go on to, back to Siv Zayin, about fevers. Let's see, what do we say about fevers in Shabbat? It says, Shechin, okay? Shechin, fan b'fi ha-tabat. Chas v'shalom, someone gets something very serious in that part of the body. Simta hu nikra, whatever, flon karu, I don't know what that is, but that's what we have as fevers. Yesh, v'amish yesh bo kadachat. Okay, kadachat, simta is something else, fine, but kadachat is the fever. If someone has a fever, cham bioter, then you're allowed to violate Shabbat for the fever. Now, which fever are you allowed to violate Shabbat? So, Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't mean kadacha matzoi. It doesn't mean a little fever. That's very common. So, it doesn't mean the very, very common ones. Because those you treat with taking a nap, taking a good drink of water, eating ice cream, whatever you want. But that's not something you need to go to the hospital for. We're not mechallel Shabbat just because the guy got 99 degrees. He's 99. We don't go to the hospital for that. If you want to take a Tylenol. If it's bothering you so much, then we said in the beginning of the Siman, if it's Mitzair Harbay, it's hurting him a lot, then you can take the oral medicine. Then there's no question with that. However, what we said over here, it says in the Tiferet, if I can find it, if it's like 104 degrees, if a person sees that they have a super fever, a very big fever, and it doesn't go away with, if it's 104 degrees, that's very serious. That's not just going to go away just with a little Tylenol. So then you call the doctor. If it's an old person, even less than that. If it's a child, even less than that. You can try to make sure. But with the child, you have to, he says, any fever with a child, you could be Mechalel Shabbat. You can call the doctor. That's what Chazal Novadia says. From my experience, I would just add, you should try to see if you can use a Tylenol. You should try to see because children often get fevers and they're often, the doctors even say sometimes, if it goes away within a few hours, it does not mean anything. It's just not even things like that. Children get fevers and the fevers get very high, but they're okay. Yes, question.
Now that he's 104, like how do you test or something?
Okay, excellent. So are you allowed to take a temperature on Shabbat? What about that?
Yes.
Okay, what do we say? Are you allowed to use, I don't know if anybody even has them anymore, we do. We have a mercury or an old, whatever, not even a mercury, but an old, a regular mechanical thermostat, thermometer. And then there's the electric ones. So it says that you're not allowed to measure stuff on Shabbat. And that's from the Gemara on the last daf, last page in Masechet Shabbat. You're not allowed to measure something because we're afraid it's something like you do during the week. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbat. However, you can do it for a mitzvah. For a mitzvah, you could do it, or for a chole. You can do it for someone who's sick. So there's no question. Any chole who has a fever, you're allowed to. You don't need to be a chole shame, like a not even. Even if the person's a little bit in pain, he has a fever, you can do the mechanical thermometer. Now, it unfortunately happens. So if a person knows that this happens commonly, or they're a little kid, good idea. Buy the mechanical ones. They still sell them. They're not impossible to find. If let's say someone doesn't have one, they only have an electric one. Are you allowed to use electric one? Excellent. Okay, good. So then I would not allow for the person who is just a tiny feeling that he has a little fever. But if he's a chol shem b'sakana, he feels he needs to lie down. He feels very weak. He's lying down in bed. Then yes, he can use it. And as brought here from Menuchan Aver, Moshe Levi, you can use it if you need to. But ideally, get the mechanical one. Mechanical ones for this, for Shabbat purposes, much better. Oh, sorry, from Yaakov Yosef, that you can use the electric one if you absolutely need to. That's ideally use the mechanical, otherwise use the electric one. Now, if the person is concerned about more serious things than what we're talking about, and they have a big fever, like today with corona, if someone has a fever, and they're worried that they caught corona or something like that, so then they could, if they need to, if they're concerned, call the doctor. Don't worry about if they're other concerns besides the fever that they're worried that this brings up. So then, yeah, any safek sakana we're worried. Okay, fine. He brings here the same thing. Anybody who has other infections, they have an ear infection, and they also have a fever. Sometimes, if they're worried that it's been going on for a long time, not just a 2-hour thing, so then they're worried an ear infection or whatever, something else, an eye infection, something serious, and it's going on for a long time, then they should call the doctor because it could be more serious. Fevers could sometimes mean serious things if it's a long time. He quotes about if someone has kidney failure here, that if he has to, that he could, if he has, or kidney, not failure, but kidney problems. And he has to do checks every single day on that they, whatever, check. I don't really know if anybody does this. They take the food or something that they eat, and they take something, they put it in their mouth, and they check the color. I don't know if anybody, but people do something like this for if they have fertility questions, and they have to check if their temperature is going up, if their certain hormone levels going up. So every single day they put a little stick. They either go to the bathroom or one thing or the other, and they take a little stick or a little piece of paper, and they see if it changed colors. Are you allowed to change colors on a stick in order so that the person could check? The person who has kidney issues, he has to check because the doctor told him to check something every single day. Or the person who wants to become pregnant and they have fertility questions and they want to figure out when is their period coming. And this is not everybody would do this. Only someone who has a fertility question, their doctor told them to do this. So they allowed to color the stick or not. Does it make sense, the question?
Yes.
Okay, so what do we think?
Color, lo nichale.
Okay, but is it deraita or derabanan?
It's
derabanan
because it's only... temporary, probably, right?
Okay, so the question, the color sometimes could last for a long time until you throw it in the garbage. But we might consider it temporary in the sense that for our purposes, for our use, it's temporary. We don't really care about it long term. Now, in terms of nichale, not nichale, is not so pashut. Because you do want the color to change, not because of the color in and of itself, but because the function of this thing is to see if the color changed. And that might be nichale. I want to see the color. So that might be nicha. So it could be the leniency is so some opinions discuss this. Some were strict. However, Sitz Eliezer was lenient on this many years ago for fertility. He said, "Now this is a big question: is somebody who's infertile considered? They're walking around. Nobody even knows it, and they're walking. They're healthy. They're breathing. Nothing. No one could see anything wrong. Are they considered a chole? Are they considered sick?" The answer for halakha purposes. So Sitz Eliezer said, so Rav Shechter says like this, he says, the main criteria, what makes someone a choleh, is not about whether they're sick in bed or not. Is are they functioning like everybody else, normally like everybody else? And this person, this lady, her not every organ in her body is functioning as normally as everybody else. So for a choleh, they can be considered choleh, and we would allow them to do certain things. So now, if that's the case, I don't know if the Sephardi poskim say exactly like that, but I think we would be lenient in that case anyway, like this. First of all, Sitz Eliezer says some reasons it might be derabanan. One of them is it's an internal change in the paper itself, similar to like the photosensitive glass. I don't know what the glasses are, but if a person has glasses, they walk in the street when they're outside and it turns into sunglasses. And when he walks back inside, it turns regular. Are you allowed to wear those on Shabbat? So then, Shlomo's funny story. I'll say the story in a moment, but the reason that some poskim chamavad is lenient is because it's not dying, it's not coloring, it's internal change. In other words, painting, if I take a piece of paint, or take crayons, or markers, and I color a piece of paper, I've added something on top of something else. That's soveya. However, if it's an internal change, that's not soveya. That's the item itself, it looks different to people. That's a chiluk that they make that might not be deraita soveya. So there, with the photosensitive glasses, there was the wife of Rav, I think it was Rav Zriel Orbach, one of the sons of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And his wife needed these glasses. She went to the store and said, "Should I get? What do you have to offer?" So they told her about these glasses. They go in the street, and she needed something to protect her eyes. So they're going to turn to sunglasses to go in the street. Fine. So she said, "What do you think? Should I get these?" And the lady said, you know, the person behind the counter said, "You know that some poskim say you're not supposed to wear in Shabbat." And so she said, "Oh, don't worry, I know about this. My father, her father is a Rav Al Yashiv, and my father says I'm not allowed. My husband and my father-in-law, Rav Shlomo Zalman, they say it's allowed." But she didn't say that it was Rav Shlomo Zalman. She just said, "My father says it's not allowed. My father-in-law says it is allowed." So the person at the cash register, the sales lady said, "Oh, why don't you ask your father and your father-in-law? Just go ask a rabbi." So it happened to be in that case, her father was a rabbi, but either way. The Chamavad is matir with those glasses. And so the paper, that's one derabanan. Another one is, it might be a chetzi shiur. It's not a lot of painting. It's a very small amount. Chetzi shiur, some say, is only derabanan by Shabbat. That's a chacham svi. So it's a very small amount, and it's eno shakayama, and you could also say it is psik ratio. So psik ratio on a derabanan, for a need, we would be lenient. Okay, so that's bottom line, I think we would allow. And that's what it says here in the Tefera for the person with the kidney question. Any questions on what I said?
Yeah, wouldn't we say that people without kids is the most even sheesh most of the time? Because it seems like that person has kids is like as if he's not even living, right? He's like
a kid. Wow. Yeah, so last time we talked about that a little bit. They talk about it with blindness. So for blindness, bottom line, if someone has a retina detached or whatever, they can be mechallel Shabbat. However, that's what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. But, and that's in Sif Tet. I'll put it on the screen. However, Choshev Be'enav, we're mechallel Shabbat for them. A tremendous stabbing pain or inflammation in the eye, they can do that. However, that's not because they were afraid of them becoming blind. It's because the Gemara says, we're afraid that it might cause them to die. We're not mechallel Shabbat sakana either. It's only because Shiria Eine Belibatalia. That's the Mishamran Chamavadya say. And even though the doctors say today, we're not afraid of the loss of life just because of eye infection, but bottom line, we follow this opinion, we're still worried about the sakana. I spoke to my brother Darren, who's a doctor, on some of these things. Yeah, I think most doctors, we're here as well, most doctors are not worried person's going to die. They're afraid of loss of life. It could be such an infection. Could cause loss of life. But generally, that's not the thing. It's usually loss of vision. But bottom line, we mechal Shabbat for the eyes specifically. And what the Gemara you brought, Shimon, is we say it's a very nice and important homiletic statement. It's a nice agadah, very important idea, but we're not mechal Shabbat because another person on the list is someone who's poor. So the people said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that he said if someone's blind, he can melech Shabbat because it's like someone's blind is dead. So somebody said, oh, so too you're allowed to go work on Shabbat because if someone's poor is like they're dead. So Rav Shechter said that was not correct. Rav Soloveitchik never allowed that. Okay. I have some other ideas here. We bring here... Okay, here's a good... At least something to think about. You want something hard to think about. If you want a list, I have on my computer. I hope if you can you see that I changed the screen from the PDF?
No.
No. Okay. So I'm just going to share the screen again. But you can just see here. This is on the Halakha Beat. I just put a bunch of specific conditions under which a person on Shabbat has. You can look each one up, or a person could think about them. Most of them are very pashut, not usually so serious. Most things like asthma, whatever, if it's a not so serious thing, then you just take oral medicine for most of them. Bandages, we said, okay. Bee sting, same thing. You wash it, whatever. Bone fractures, we talked about the big bones, small bones. Diabetes, so they could take medicines, and if they don't take insulin, if they had like too much sugar, they can have. Hypoglucose, whatever, overreaction, and it could be very, very serious for them. They can be in tremendous danger. So they need a check. It's brought over here that they can even. I don't know if people do this anymore the same way. I'm not so familiar. But they could take an injection with a shot, and even though that's a question of chabura, but they're a chol shemos lekanan. It's protecting their health. If a person could have what's brought here is if they can have it's from the menuchat ava. If they can have something that's intravenous, something that's all the time in their skin that checks, that's much better because then it's not making a blood chovel. Also,
okay, so for diabetes, people have a pump if they have severe diabetes. For diarrhea, you have the wrong information.
What does it say?
Prune juice is for constipation. If you took prune juice when you have diarrhea, you'll get twice as much diarrhea.
Right. Okay. So it needs to be fixed.
Make a category called constipation.
Yeah. So that's good. We'll have to fix that one.
It's not there.
Thank you. Good. So now, about diabetes, it says over here about just any injection. A person needs to take the vaccine or any shot on Shabbat. What we should be aware of is as follows, that doing a shot on Shabbat that's going to go into a vein, cause bleeding, is usually asur, midrabanan, because it's going to cause bleeding. However, it is allowed for... it's allowed for a chole. It's not allowed for someone who's not a chole. For a vaccine, it's allowed because it's preventing someone getting sick. If someone knows what they're doing when they're giving shots, a doctor or a nurse, then you could do the following. It's better to do intramuscular or into fat than into the vein. If it has to be a shot on Shabbat for, let's say, people who are for fertility. Sometimes they take shots. This way they could do IVF. This way their hormones go up. So they could do the shots not into the vein, because it's going to be, if they're good at knowing how to give shots, they can do it into a muscle or into fat. And this way, or a person needs to take an EpiPen. If they know what they're doing, and they can do it into the muscle or into the fat, it's not going to cause bleeding. And then that'd be better. Okay? If they need to be, if the doctor says it needs to be into the vein, so it needs to be in the vein. From when I spoke to Darren, from my brother, it didn't sound like most of the time it absolutely has to be in the vein. Usually it's absorbed very quickly. You do it into the muscle also. Okay. Now, here's the lumdus. Here's the question I wanted you to think about. I would just bring this up so you should see that that people have wrote about this. And each particular condition, you ask your doctor. So now, here's a question to think about. What about, and it's brought here from Chacham Avadia, I'm looking into Tiferet on Sif Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch was about, should we delay? Okay, if there's ever a question of somebody sick on Shabbat, should I try to take care of it now or wait till after Shabbat? So my question is like this. What about someone who's not right now sick? The doctor says he's in a very serious condition, and if we don't treat him today or tomorrow, then he's going to be very sick. We need to treat him someday, today or tomorrow. So if it's before Shabbat, then do it before Shabbat. Okay, if the doctor says there's no question, you can wait till after Shabbat, so wait till after Shabbat. What if it's a Yom Tov and Shabbat together? A Yom Tov on Friday and Shabbat afterwards. Is it better to do it on Friday even though he's not sick? Or better to wait till Shabbat when he is more in the case of being sick to wait till Shabbat to do it? And another question, totally different, but same type of question. If you have an 8-day process, procedure they have to do, and you can start it on and right now it's Shabbat, and it only has to be 8 days. Should they start on Shabbat, it'll go now 2 Shabbatot, or should they start on Sunday, it'll go only 1 Shabbat? And third question, and then we'll finish the questions, I'll let you answer, is someone who says, the doctor says like this, they can't fast so much, they're going to be very weak. But they probably can fast, they can survive 1 fast. So he says like this, is right now, after Rosh Hashanah, Som Gedalia. Should we tell him, fast Som Gedalia? And then he's going to be too sick, he's not going to be able to fast Yom Kippur, or better, Som Gedalia Minhag, Yom Kippur. It says in the Torah that it's the one day of the year we have to fast according to the Torah. It's a very, very serious day. Tell him not to fast Som Gedalia. Break the fast. This way he'll be able to fast on Yom Kippur. But Som Gedalia comes first. So what do we say on these questions? This is the Shulchan Aruch I was just showing you. Is Yud Aleph and Amri Nantin Aleh. We don't say to people to wait. And there's a very sad story of Neventhal writes about a soldier that a certain medic, whatever, thought that the halakha was if you have something that's only a few hours and Shabbat, you're supposed to wait, and the person expired before end of Shabbat. So that's not the halakha. The halakha is we don't wait. We don't wait. If it's a serious condition, you deal with it immediately. But what if the doctor says it's not? So we have these three questions. What do we think about the Yom Tov Friday, Shabbat next day, the 8-day procedure, and then the Som Gedalia Yom Kippur question? What do we think? Any thoughts? If you have any suggestions, it doesn't have to be the whole answer.
I could say maybe we saw in the case of the Sefina that you are not allowed to go Wednesday next to Shabbat because you might come to break Shabbat. So maybe you could extract this for this case.
Beautiful. That's exactly what I was thinking. That's such a good precedent. Okay, then. Just in a nutshell, when a person is right now not violating Shabbat, but you're putting yourself into a situation which is going to come to violate Shabbat. So if you're not supposed to go on a boat, now their boats were not like our cruise boats today, but their boats were, you're usually going to be able to cause Chilul Shabbat that you have to be in danger in a storm in the sea. So you're not allowed to get on the boat within 3 days before Shabbat because we're afraid it's going to come to a situation where you'll be in danger. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger and then you'll have to Mechalal Shabbat to save yourself. My brothers who wrote about this for Shomer Shabbat residency, this was a Machloket, Rabbi Tendler, and Rav Schechter. Ayin Shom. Anybody wants to know about that topic. But what I want to bring out from that topic is like this. Elective surgery, Chacham Avadia says, you're not supposed to do on a Friday because it's going to be, if it's going to be that they're going to stay in the hospital the day after, or that he's going to be in a lot of pain, he's going to need to take pain medicines, and he's going to need to recuperate, and he might need to get called back to the hospital or to the doctor the day after. Don't do it on Thursday. Don't do it on Friday. Don't do it on Shabbat, of course. If it's elective surgery and you can push it off, do it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do it earlier in the week this way. It doesn't cause that he's going to be in trouble come Shabbat. Yes? Okay, so now what about...
Do operations on Friday as
well. No, I do it Tuesday as my day.
Tuesday's his day because we don't want to be the patients calling us.
Okay.
If we can operate on Friday, then we can.
Very good.
Yahweh knows Tuesday's my day.
Okay, great. So now, what about the case of Yom Tov and Shabbat? Chaim Avadia says like this. He says, Yom Tov is more lenient than Shabbat. Yom Tov is only. It's a sermon hatzarah, but it's no skila, it's no karet, it's not as serious as Shabbat. Therefore, if it's 2 days, Shabbat, Yom Tov before Shabbat, do the melacha on Yom Tov before Shabbat, even though right now he's not sick. Because it prevents chilul Shabbat. Big chidush. The eight day process, it says in the Rambam that you can work on Shabbat. If it's an 8 day procedure, and they're going to have to deal with him for 8 days no matter what, should he break 2 Shabbatot or 1? Says the Rambam, right now, the question is, he's going to have to break 1 Shabbat no matter what. And right now it's just a pikuch nefesh. So you have to save him. And you don't have to cheshbon, you don't have to make calculations. Am I going to lead to more or less chilul Shabbat? But makom pikuch nefesh, no, you don't make any cheshbon, you don't delay. And the third question, the Som Gedalia and the Yom Kippur question. So this is a big question they talk about. Is it better to do a small avira to get a bigger mitzvah later? And some people discuss this at great length. And probably, this is, there's different opinions in the poskim. Probably the answer over there for most poskim, the Stechemet brings an argument about that particular case. I think the bigger answer over there is Yom Kippur is much more important than some Gedalia, and usually it's not particularly practical. Let me see if there's anything else I just wanted to mention, and then I'll finish. And I'll be happy. Yeah, I just want to see. Diabetic, eye, fever, band-aids, ear infection. Okay, Okay, that was the most, I got to the things I really wanted to. Any questions? Oh, last thing with the Band-Aid thing, you can put on a Band-Aid, but you should not rip off a cotton ball, I don't know if anybody even knows what that is, from a clot of cotton, because that's Korea. It's separating, it's also maybe even Mitakin, so it's Korea. Or the Tzion says not to rip off a cotton ball on Shabbat. If you need a bandage, take a piece of cloth, take a Band-Aid, whatever you have to bandage something. Don't rip off a piece of cotton on Shabbat. Any questions on what we did? I'm finished.
Daddy,
any questions?
Said about if you have a Band-Aid and it's around your finger, so when you go to sleep it could be one way, but the next morning it may be like your finger's all swollen because it was too tight if the Band-Aid went around. So you do have to rip it off.
Okay, very good. Does anybody, I'm happy to say we did an excellent job with this year. I'm happy, Chazak Baruch, to Salo, to Shimon, to Ed, to everybody, to the whole family, to my parents, to Hami, and to Jake, and to Isaac, Sal, everybody. So, do we want next week, just to finish, we're finishing here with Refuah and Shabbat, do we want to, does anybody have time, want to, not want to, next week, Monday, I could do something about Shavuot, or we could do Shabbat, or neither. I'm happy either way.
We'll always show up.
You're okay, Sala. Okay, so if they're not too taxing the finals. Do you want to do something about Shavuot, or do we want to do Shabbat?
Shabbat sounds great.
Shabbat sounds good.
Okay, so I'll find something.
Because it's going to be everybody's home this year. It's going to be very hard to stay up all
night. Shabbat sounds good.
Yeah. We'll do what we can, I guess. Yeah, we can't stay up. We can't do the Zoom. Yeah, but we'll...
No, I'm saying, but there's nice...
In advance. We'll learn Torah as much as we could before. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So,